Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about subject on the board. Take heed to yourselves, which means pay attention to yourself. Look into yourself. Notice. Make a point. Make a point to. Do you ever ask yourself questions like, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why do I think that? Why am I responding like this? Why do I have this attitude that I have? That's taking heed to yourself. Pay attention to yourself. It's really easier, I think, to pay attention to other people and ask those questions. Why do they do that? Why do they think that way? Why do they speak that way? Why do they have that attitude? But the scripture is really a lot less interested in us paying attention to one another as it is to us paying attention to ourselves. So take heed to yourself. Over in Luke, the 21st chapter, I'm going to start with the 25th verse. It says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distresses of nations with perplexities, the sea and the waves roaring." I'm not pretending to know what the Lord was altogether talking about here, but that all sounds disturbing to me. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Do you know that we can be very affected by the things that happen around our world? It's disturbing. The news almost all yesterday and today, talking about yesterday about 10:30 Central Time, some crazed man started pulling the trigger at a Walmart parking lot, worked his way in there, ends up, I think the count was 20 dead, 26 injured, something like that. Touches our psyche, don't I? I mean, it touches our consciousness to think. I told my wife, we travel around all over the country. I believe in the protection of the Lord, but I also know that we go into a lot of Walmarts and we go into a lot of places. And because of that, it makes me to know how vulnerable you can be to the circumstances of life. I think about those kind of things. Then news this morning, I think it was overnight, some crazed guy, I don't even know the details of that, some club or something took off shooting and killed 7, I believe it was, and some were injured. Crazy things happening around our world. Our nation is becoming more decadent, more corrupt, more defiled. As time goes on, you can see all these things happening around our world. Jesus is telling about some things here, so distressful of these things. And he goes on, I'm going to read a little more. "Shall see the Son of Man come in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not be passed away till all this be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And now the Lord tells us, gives us this little notion, right in the middle of all this happening, all that's going around, this is what the Lord says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of life, and so that day come upon you unaware. So the storms and the difficulties and the diseases and the troubles and all that life that attacks us and attacks our minds, you know what the Lord said? He didn't say to try to stop the storm. Let's get up a force of some way and try to change the environment, change culture. Make the storm go away. Let's cure the diseases. No, he said, take heed to yourself. You're responsible. You're responsible for you. That's the bottom line. I'm responsible for me. You're responsible for you. Take heed to yourself and know that you'll be able to bear the storm. Know that you're going to be able to take the difficulty. Excuse me, without losing your soul. Know that people's going to come against you for who you are and what you stand for. Know that you're going to have relationship problems. Know that and take heed to yourself, to whether or not you're right in your own soul. That's what it's saying. Yeah, a storm's going to come, but I can't change the storm. These things might happen around me, but I can't change that. But take heed to yourself. You're responsible. We live in a world that tries to put the responsibility on everybody else, every other thing, every institution. It's our government's fault. It's our representative's fault. It's the teacher's fault. It's the police's fault. It's somebody else's fault. No, it's not. You're responsible for you. Brahms makes ice cream. But if I eat it till my belly hangs over my belt, it's not their fault. It's my fault. I'm responsible for that. I don't have to eat all of that. I mean, Domino's makes pizza, but if I eat it at 10 o'clock at night and have heartburn, it's not Domino's fault. It's Marty's fault that he's out of control with things. Take heed to yourself. There's things that affect us in life. How are we managing the things that affect us in life? Do you know that our souls can be affected? We can become disoriented about God. We can become dysfunctional in the Lord because we've allowed things that we've accepted in our lives, and we're responsible for that attitude that we have. Somebody made the question about yesterday, who was responsible for that shooting? Well, I know there's influences in life. He was. That's who's responsible for it. I don't know how he got there and all that went with it. And there is influences in life. But I want to tell you something. If you reject authority in your life, and if you sit and play video games endlessly about blowing people up and shooting people, and you get that kind of stuff in your mind, and you become so callous that you don't care about human life, it's your fault that you did it. Take heed to yourself, because you know that we can become indifferent to religious things, to spiritual things, or we can go on with the facade. I'm just saying, take heed to yourself about how you're responding to the things that are around you. Oh, I made this little joke. With Linda today. I come into the laundry room and I had this balled up pair of socks, and she was in there doing laundry. And so I aimed a beaner on the head with it. I took them socks and kind of aimed a beaner on the head. Well, I missed her and kind of hit her on the shoulder. She didn't know I was there, so she kind of startled and jumped. She kind of looked up at me and kind of gave this little grin at me. Like, I took it. It kind of meant like, you shouldn't do that. Okay, well, I shouldn't do that, but it made my mind to wonder. And listen, it's not saying anything about what I'm telling you how we work. I said, you know, back when we was courting, that would have probably been cute, but it don't work real well now. Do you know that's true of the way we get? And there's things about God that we get that way with. that we can allow ourselves to be so used to or so in line with things. Take heed to yourself. If you're not spiritual, it's the pastor's fault. It's the church's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's my neighbor's fault. It's somebody's fault. No. If I'm not spiritual, it's my fault. It's my fault. Do I get up with the devotion for the Lord? Do I try to get something for the Lord to feed my soul? God is faithful to every one of us. God will not leave you with any lacks in your life you seek Him. He won't leave you in a bad place. Take heed to yourself. It's our responsibility to pay attention to our own soul. When I stand before the Lord, I'm not going to be able to say it was the video maker's fault that I'm not saved. If they hadn't have come up with those games that totally distracted me, I'd be saved. That don't work. I'm not saved, Lord, if I had a different daddy than I had, a different mother than I had, if I hadn't lived where I lived, you know, none of that's going to work. Take heed to yourself. It's not the circumstances that we look at. Streams in the Desert yesterday had this little thing. It was really neat. I liked what it said. It said, don't pray for your task of life to be equal to you. But pray that you're equal to your task. Don't pray that the things would be weak enough for you to do. Pray that you'd have strength to do them. What it is. Don't pray for those things so you can become more. Take heed to yourself. Am I up to this? Lord, help us to be what we're supposed to be in this life. Why do I think that way? What's my attitude? Why am I saying the words that I say? Why did I say that? Is there something there that made me say that? Take heed to your own self. I want to think about a few people in the scriptures. Oh, maybe I'll just go in rather than reading it. There was a man in the scriptures. I will get it. I think it's the 4th of Genesis. Yeah, in the first verse it says, And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. This is a side note here. I remember in a Trivial Pursuit, the question was asked, who was the first set of twins in the Bible? And I remember answering that one time was Esau, Cain, and Esau and Jacob. Well, no, the answer was Cain and Abel. And scholars say it's because it says it this way, that he knew his wife, and she bare Abel, and didn't say that he knew his wife again, but she bare Cain. And they take that, scholars do, as these was twins. And I can't verify that. I'm just telling you what scholar says. But assuming that could be true, think of twins. I mean, think of your siblings that you've had in your life. Maybe you've got along with them and maybe you didn't. It don't always work well. But I think of two twins that grow up together, probably understood one another better than anybody else could ever understand something. Twins that grow up that way. No doubt they played together, don't you think? They played together. They lived life together. They shared the bed together, I would say. They slept together. They grew up together. All of those kind of things. Folks, there's decisions to make about life. You're going to have it as good or bad as you want it. Usually by the decisions that you make, what you do today will affect what happens tomorrow. That's why it's not right for me to just say, well, I got here and I didn't mean to. No, you took the steps that got you there. One ice cream cone won't make you overweight. You stop long enough and you keep doing that. One Big Mac won't do it. It's not McDonald's fault if you do it. But if you do it, one won't do it. But a continual diet of it, keeping going, may affect your health. It may affect the rest of your life. I'm not preaching on food today or health. I'm talking about the soul today, because you can make decisions in your life that will get you somewhere else later in life. And it's all on how we deal with the things that come. Lord, help us to be strong. Take heed to yourself. Are you strong enough? Lord, what is the thing here? I've butted up my head up against things like that before. Maybe you have too. Come up to something and just be, just something. I'm going to do this. And the Lord speak to me and say, you better not. You can do it that way if you want to, but you're going to go down a bad road. And you start humbling yourself, Lord. And you get to the place where you say, Lord, help me to do this right, because my inclination is to want to do it wrong. You ever get to just thinking about things, and one thing lead to another, and all of a sudden you meditated yourself right into this what you would do, very carnal, fleshly idea that you'll do. You know, you're much more prone to fulfill that when you've thought it through like that. You know, the best thing to do when you catch yourself doing something, I'm saying for us guys, you know, times of trouble comes up and somebody says this, and just now you're thinking about this and this, and all of a sudden you're punching somebody in the nose or something, and you're thinking, I'll take care of him. I'll throw him to the ground's what I'll do. I'll take care of it. Show him something real serious. You do that. You know, you're much more prone to react on that once you've meditated it through. You're much better off to back up and start doing it right. You know, I have literally had to back up before and say, okay, I'm going to think about this. Maybe it could work out this way. And do it till I pray in my thoughts. I pray for them and I do this. And to the point that they see their salvation. Or see, I see us coming back together. You're much more prone to do it once you've thought it through. Lord, help us. So here's Cain and Abel, and we know the story. There come a time, once they got big enough to do it, that there come a time that they made an offering to the Lord. That's very religious, folks. You don't make offerings and sacrifice to the Lord unless you're very religious. This is what they do. In the process of time, it came to pass, Cain bought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. I don't know altogether what that means, but it did say that Cain talked with his brother Abel. You know, here's the situation, whether they're twins or just close brothers, there's brothers raised together, grew up together. Should have been precious to one another. What a valuable gift to have a brother. I don't know, I think of Keith and Jamie. I had a brother too. I think Keith and Jamie. But Keith and Jamie, that's two brothers. I know they didn't always get along. But you're brothers, ain't you? That's your brother. There's brothers, something important, something special about a brother. Got Mike and Mark here today, brothers. Something special about a brother. It just is. But it don't always work that way, but it ought to always be that way. Well, here's the situation then. Cain and Abel. You know that Abel was, whether you like it or not, if you can get by the, what do you say, the jealousy or the envy, if you can get all through of that, if you're Cain, take heed to yourself. Quit with Abel now. Quit with God, with what God? Cain. This is God Almighty. You're not dealing with, you're dealing with God, and He said you're wrong. You can't get no more wrong than that, and there's no more argument left, Cain. Take heed to yourself. You know what he ought to have been saying? What did I do wrong? How can I make it right? And do you know what God put in his life to help him make it right? Whether you want to admit this or not, or you don't like your brother, or you're doing this or whatever, Abel's offering was accepted. Bottom line, maybe you don't like the way he grins. Maybe he hits you with a stick back when you was a boy and you still have a problem with it. But his offering was accepted, Cain. He's got something for you to help you. You should humble yourself and say, my brother, you've been accepted to the Lord and I'm not. Help me. See, Abel ain't no better than Cain. Oh, God loved Abel better. No. There's two brothers of the same blood, of the same position. Take heed to yourself. All the components are put in your life for your salvation. God gave you a brother to pick you up, to help you. Ask him. Take heed to yourself. Humble yourself, Cain. Humble yourself. No, he didn't take heed to that. He didn't take heed to himself. Whose fault is this? It must be Abel's. Oh, despise Abel. It's Abel. Take heed to yourself. It's not them. It's you. It's you. It will always be you. I say that. I hope you ain't saying I'm pointing. I'm saying it's me. It will always be me. I've got to take heed to who I am and what my difficulties are. Yeah, the storm's going to come, but am I strong enough to handle the storm? Yes, people's not always going to like me. Am I going to be strong enough to be faithful to the Lord even if they don't? You can't move me away from the one that loves my soul. You can't move me. I'm strong. I got to be strong enough to do that. Take heed to myself. Is that going to move me? What is it that's going to move me? Storm? Difficulties? What happens when Christianity's could be? It's moving that way. What happens when if the preacher gets up and preaches against some of these things that's going on the earth that it's considered a hate crime and they might throw me in jail? Am I going to be able to take heed to myself? Am I going to be strong enough to be able to do what the Lord wants me to do? Take heed to yourself. You know the story? Cain gets Abel out in the field and he slays him out in the field. Boy, that solved these problems. No, it didn't solve his problems. He went one step further down a road that he was destined to go because he wouldn't take heed to himself. Stop. Slow down. This isn't selfishness, folks, to take heed to yourself. It's the responsibility of your soul. Because within the parameters of us taking care of our own souls, as Paul said, his Jewish brothers, I think he challenged them to emulation, which means I think I'm number one. And he said, within God, you can do that. Because you should strive to be the most spiritual person on the planet. Because you know what you'll do when you're the most spiritual? Oh no, you won't be made king. Don't you worry about getting too lifted up when you're the most spiritual. No. You'll be the best servant that you can be. I challenge everybody, you be more spiritual than me and be as spiritual as you can, because if you do, you're going to treat me right. you'll love me. You'll be kind to me. You'll be gentle with me. Of course you will be if you're the most spiritual. So I challenge everybody to be the most spiritual that you can be. Take heed. Take heed to yourself. Cain slays Abel. But he took off down a road of destruction that he probably never came back from. There's another one. I won't turn to this one. There was another guy in the Bible who was anointed king of Israel. First king of Israel. A man that was shy to start with. King Saul. Oh, King Saul, take heed to yourself. Do you not know where you're going? You know, he was a shy, kind of hideaway type guy, and then he was made king, and the king started getting to his head. He started becoming big in his own thoughts and this, and I can do what I want to do type attitude. Do you know that Saul should have took heed to himself? When Saul started trying to get jealous at David and try to pin him to the wall, he should have said, why do I want to destroy this young man? Why? Is it because he's bad? And in the honest of his heart, he could say, no, I got a problem. Lord, help me with my problem. It's not his problem. It's my problem. You know the story of King Saul, who's going to... supposed to time to make a sacrifice. He wasn't supposed to make it, but he's king. He can do it if he wants to. So he waits, and Samuel don't show up, so he does it himself. Bad idea. You should have said, why? Why did I do that? Why do I have the attitude I can do anything I want to? Lord, help us. But he didn't, and he went right on. Then there come, later on, there comes a time to where... The scripture says that they come back from war, and the women come out to the streets, and they started singing and dancing. You can see the scene in your mind. They come out and do this, and they started singing. Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Oh boy. Some silly women got him flared up. He got jealous that the women did it. David's coming in a perfect servant, bowing to his king Saul. King, live forever. I'm only a servant. Some silly women come out there, and now he's wanting to kill David because there's some silly women out there singing. And not only that, take heed to yourself, Saul. Take heed to yourself. Who made David to exist? God did. Who put him in your life? God did. He's valuable. When the chronicles are written of the kings, it's going to have under King Saul a mighty man named David, that they conquered all these places at his hand under King Saul. The glory would have went to King Saul for having such a noble man in his midst. But no, he got jealous. Take heed to yourself. It was said of David that he was a man of war, not of peace. God rose David up because he was a mighty man of war. He understood war. He was fearless. Do you know how King Saul died? He died at the hands of the Philistines. Who do you think was there to fight the Philistines for him? David. He died at the hands of the Philistines. Take heed to yourself, that salvation was before you. King Saul, your salvation was there in the man of David. God gave you David. And you turned away from it and had jealous of it. And you ended up battling without David. David was away because you kept chasing him off. And David could have defended you against that attack that you lost your life in. But he wasn't there. Take heed to yourself. One step gets another step. And gets another step all the way to your destruction. All the way to the end of destruction is because decisions were made that we didn't take heed about my own life, my own thoughts, my own attitudes. They grow like giants in our own lives. A little bitterness can grow into such a stronghold, immovable. Some unforgiveness can go so far in that. Lord, help us. Sometimes we can get a hold of what was it, surfing and the drunkenness that he mentioned. Sometimes that's the stuff in entertainments and the things that we can get can be so habited we can almost do without, can't do without them. I just gotta do it. It brings something to it. I just gotta do it. It can become such a stronghold in our lives. You better take heed at the starting point. I don't suppose one cigarette would kill you. But what, you can't smoke two until you smoke one. And you won't smoke a dozen until you smoke two. And you won't smoke a pack until you smoke two. It'll go to the point and it'll get its talons in people and it'll destroy their physical lives many times. And that's the way the pattern goes. So you take heed to where you're going. I'm not going to go into that area, that place. Because it is dangerous. Take heed to yourself. Why? Why do I want that? Why do I want to go there? Why do I want to listen to that? Why do I say I must? I have to. Why? Why do I have to have it? Well, it's a question. Lord, help us. Over in Acts, the 17th chapter. Acts 17. Tenth verse says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." Said they was more noble. You know what? These more noble people here at Berea, they were taking heed to themselves, and they was looking in. You know, sometimes you have these thoughts of what we want is people to just come in and just do what we say. Is that what we want? We want people to just come in and say, "What would you have me to do?" No, it's not. Because they don't have anything worth anything. Because you can't follow a person that's worth anything to follow like that. Oh, you follow me as I follow Christ. Of course, that's not what we want. We want somebody to want the truth in their lives. And somebody that's going to seek the truth. And if you say something, if I say, "Hey, this is blue," and you say, I don't think so, it looks black to me. I ain't offended at that. Let's find out what it is together. Let's see what it is. They were searching the scriptures. You said this was there? Searching the scriptures and praying and daily exercise to find out whether these things were true or not. Because it's serious enough to know. The truth of it is, nobody can so see your life that they can point everything out to you. You just can't do it. You can hide. You can put up facades. I can think you're great and you're not. I can think you're not and you are. There's no way that an individual can look in and see that. It takes the individual to take heed to themselves. Lord, why is this in my life? Why am I like this? Listen, I've always had an adversity to this. And Lord, help me. I believe in a long time, whatever it is, I believe in long suffering for all. I believe that Lord works line upon line upon line, and I'm not the judge of that line. And if it takes you 50, 60 years to get there, well, get there. But I want to say this, I don't think it's supposed to. In most cases, be all their life with those problems that are innate to us, those problems that's in there, not to be taken care of. Because the Lord's got a salvation. The Lord's got something. And it's not the Lord's fault. It's not the gospel's fault. And it's not the church's fault. It only leaves one person, one character, left in the plot. It must be my fault. If I'm continuing with a dysfunction in my life to I'm having trouble with, and I had it when I got saved, and I got it 10 years later, and I got it 20 years, and now I'm up to 30. I'm up to 30. If I've got it, I got it. 30 years that I've not conquered this problem. I've got, at my house, I've got a 5-year-old going to turn 6. And until got an 18, it's going to turn 19. I sure expect much more out of that 18 to 19 than and a 17 to 18 than I do to that 5-year-old. There's things that she'd do that just would just be a grin and a light, and that's fine. But you expect something more. You expect something more. Take heed to yourself. If you're really interested in this morning, this is the area that you have to be responsible for, because nobody else can do it. If you don't take heed to yourself in this, there is no way that anybody else can accomplish it for you. You just can't do it. The only thing to do, the Lord gives a message and the preacher preaches it and fires it at you. From that point on, you've got to be responsible for your own, the own thing in your own life. And to be able to say, Lord, help me. Most of us can say what our shortcomings is to some point or another. And Lord, help me. I've said to you many times, I just am determined by the Lord's help not to end up being a grumpy old man. You talk about genetics. I have it in my genetic pattern. I can see it as far back as I can look. At this grumpy, old, hateful attitude that I come in, and it can creep up. I'm telling you, it can be right there with me too, and I need the Lord to help me with that. And if I take heed to myself, I have to say sometimes, I can get this pretty despondent about all this. Lord, help me. I know that I can conquer this by your grace. Over in 2 Corinthians 13. First verse says, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you. And as if I were present the second time and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you, word, is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves. Paul was opening up a problem at Corinth, and was talking about the shortcomings that they had and was addressing them. It's kind of funny language that he used in the mouth of two or three witnesses. It sounds like, if I get this right, he said the witnesses was like this. I told you once, that's one. And now I'm telling you again, that's two. And then I'm coming now the third. And that's the three times. You're getting the witness. I'm giving you the witness. It's established in the Lord, and here it comes. And then when it gets down to opening this up, this is the only thing that can work. It can't work any other way. You don't really get it any other way. This is the way it works. Examine yourselves. You've got to want it. It can come off. You've got to want it enough to look into it to find out. And when it gives enough trouble, there's enough problem there. Oh, it's so hard to admit fault. It's so hard to admit you're wrong sometimes. But it is so necessary for a clean, lively soul. Confess your faults one to another. Examine yourselves, he said. Whether you be in the faith, are you? I can't examine you. I mean, after service, if you wanted, I mean, we could get up here in the corner and I could start off a list of questions. You've been reading, you've been praying, you have love to the brother, you do all this, you're staying away from the world. I can go through a list. Wouldn't do you a bit of good. Wouldn't do you a bit of good. Need the Lord's help in this. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not. Examine yourself to know. It says, and prove your own. Prove to who? Well, I'll prove to the congregation. I'm going to prove to the pastor, or I'm going to prove to the people down the road. Prove to your own self. Prove to your own self. You know, you get this right, prove to your own self and know that you got it between you and the Lord. But everybody else might not believe it anyway. It wouldn't make no difference. Well, the neighbor might look at you just cross-eyed and say, ever did. Oh, they ain't changed the lick. Maybe everybody else will look like that. But that's not what it's about. It's about taking heed to yourself and proving to your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. Take heed to yourself. Is Jesus Christ in you? This is a big question. I mean, it's the obvious answer is supposed to be say yes. If you're saved, Jesus Christ is in me. But the reason it's said this way is because it gives different definition to it. You can say, are you saved? And you can say, yes. But what does that mean? Do you have Jesus Christ in you? Then you have took on... Somebody explain Jesus to me. Well, this beardy old guy with long hair and a robe, right? You see it in the pictures. That's who he is. He's in you. No, that's not Jesus they're talking about here. Is Jesus Christ in you? Is the absorption, if you will, of the characteristics of Christ? Love, compassion, long-suffering, gentleness. All these attributes of Christ. Is Jesus Christ in you? Well, take heed. Take heed to yourself. Pay attention to yourself. Look into yourself. I answered that question. Why did I answer it that way? Being honest. Will cause me many times to say... That wasn't Jesus. Right? Oh, we'll be honest here. That's what we're about, being honest. I answered that, and that was not like Jesus. Lord, I'm taking heed to myself. Help me to answer that like Jesus answers it. And I'll look on a circumstance, and somebody will cause me to feel, will cause me to feel disgust at them. And I say, that feeling doesn't match this Christ in me. Lord, help me to feel what you feel towards that person. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Help me to have the same thought that I would have towards our salvation. We talk all the time. We talk all the time about, let's reach out. It's our duty as Christians to spread the gospel. It's our duty as Christians to want to promote it. And do you know if we ain't careful what we do? Now, you Marcus, we'll be going along with that mind, and just now we'll see... We'll see this woman in a long dress and her hair up on her head. What a perfect candidate for me to go talk to. Looks like she's already got something. Get somebody all tattooed up with a ring in their nose. Folks, they need salvation. But that's the one, if we ain't careful... Take heed to yourself. Why are you thinking like that? Jesus ain't thinking like that. I'm going to tell you, I just say this to the glory of God. It's no promotion of the flesh at all. I say this to the glory of God. I see sometimes, as soon as somebody spouts off a big line of cuss words sometimes, I'm disgusted by it. And did I remember a young man named Marty? That had a foul mouth. And I'll look at them with the love of Christ. Lord, help them the way you help me. Because if I would just turn, if you would have turned me away from my foulness the way I'm turning against them, I'd never have been saved. Let this mind be in you. Lord, help us to take heed to ourselves. We want to be. We don't want just to be a church along the road and on 92. No. We want to be the real thing. We want to have Jesus in our lives and in our midst. Take heed to yourself. This old world is going to get more and more corrupt. That's a prophecy I think I can make without problem. It's going to get worse as it goes. All these things are going to come. But the Bible, he said it this way, take heed to yourself so that you can be what you're supposed to be in it. And these things are coming. Don't allow it to shake your confidence in the Lord. Don't allow it to change who you are in the Lord. So at the end of it, the Lord will be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. You pray for me.